Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us as we once again face the issues. I encourage you to vote. Let me encourage you to vote. If you've not been out to vote, go out and vote. The last day is Monday. We've got, three days to vote. So let me encourage you to vote. We're talking about today on the issue, is Joe Biden qualified to be president? Is Joe Biden qualified to be president? I'd like to hear from you. If you think he's qualified to be president, or is he disqualified or unqualified, what are your thoughts in relationship to Joe Biden becoming the president of the United States of America? Is he qualified to be president? That's our subject today. That's what we're talking about today. And your vote today is going to make an indelible difference. Franklin Graham said, our vote will have a lasting and perhaps devastating effect for decades to come. End quote. That's a thought. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that makes all of the difference in the world. It's the Lord Jesus himself in John 8, 31 and 32, said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. It is the truth, Lord, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the Word of God. And then he says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. And so it's the truth of the Word of God that should have an indelible impress on our lives. It should be the thing that motivates and mandates our footsteps. The Word of God is where we find truth. It is the truth book, as I've called it so often down through the years. So may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that in the society today in which we're living in, the world's not looking for truth, nor do they have any interest in truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that coming more and more into the forefront today than any other time in the history of our great nation. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a very powerful statement. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And so may I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we stand on the truth. And may I also say as a little parenthetical footnote to that statement that I believe we'll live to see the day when Christians will be persecuted and prosecuted and even put to death if they stand for truth. That's the truth of the Word of God. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be our goal. That ought to be the absolute ambition of our hearts and lives, is to stand on the truth of the Word of God, regardless of what the world says, the political agenda is, or what those that are with a different worldview, whatever they may say. By the way, Sunday morning at 9:30, we have Bible study at First Conservative Baptist Church, and then at 10:45 we have the morning worship service, and at 7 p.m. the evening worship. On Sunday morning, I'll be doing a pulpit message. I'm going to try to keep it as small as possible time-wise, but generally I'm saying about 1 hour, and immediately following our morning worship, we'll have kind of a light brunch in the lunchroom, but I'm going to be speaking on the subject of the collision of two worldviews, the collision of two worldviews. And I'll be dealing with the subject of the election, be dealing with the subject of what the Bible says that we as Christians ought to do. I'll be dealing with the question of who is Joe Biden and his background, his reputation, what he's done, what he's not done. And I'll be dealing with what President Donald J. Trump has done and the reason we should reelect him for another 4 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we invite you to come and be with us this Sunday morning, First Conservative Baptist Church at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Let me remind you, it is the truth that we're searching for, and I pray that you'll come seeking to hear and understand the truth that is so important, so vital, as we face this election. The third is the final day, supposed to be. I understand with some of the courts and some of the states, they've extended that to have literally a voting week rather than a voting day. But I'm prayerful that there will be such an overwhelming response at the polls for Donald J. Trump that it will be over by midnight on the 3rd of November. So I pray that you will vote. Let me encourage you to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time has a full knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment as well as the landscape lawn care equipment for homeowners as well as professionals. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the home of the gigantic American flag. You find that flag flowing at 165 foot in the air. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any more serious subject for us to discuss, for us to be reckoning with, dealing with, than that of this election. I've reminded you a number of times, and the risk of redundancy may remind you once again, I believe it was God's divine intervention in November of 2016 that put Donald J. Trump in office. And I believe it's only through God's divine intervention that will put him back in office, reelect him as President of the United States of America, giving us 4 more years of reprieve. In fact, I read a pretty large article just yesterday, and I don't have it before me, but it was talking about the 2024, that not the 2020, but if God gives us President Trump for another 4 years, based on what I've been saying for months and months and months now, and what that article that I just referenced refers to, talks about the fact that the millennials will be fully in charge in 2024, and they'll be the major voting bloc, and that more than likely, the chances are better than even that we will then elect a socialist, Marxist, communist president of the United States of America. So that's the reason I refer to a 4-year reelection for President Donald J. Trump as a divine intervention for a reprieve and give us 4 more years to determine what we're going to do with the question of what God would have us to do as Christians. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the foundation of our nation is at stake. The Bible says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we need not put our faith and trust in man, but faith and trust in the Lord. Psalms 146, verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes, that's talking about rulers, nor in the sons of man, whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, our help comes from God. We need to ask him to give divine intervention and reelect President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, the statement that I just read, and I'll read it again for the edification of our audience today. Franklin Graham said, one vote will have lasting, perhaps devastating, effects for decades to come. He's exactly right. We have 3 more days, ladies and gentlemen, basically 3 more days to vote. November the 3rd, the election of either Joe Biden as president or Donald J. Trump reelected as president for another 4 years. We will decide then, it will be this election, that Americans will decide what kind of America do we really want. What kind of America do we want for our children, for our grandchildren, as a legacy that we leave for them? What kind of America are we really wanting? Will it be a socialist, Marxist, Maoist, BLM, Democratic Joe Biden? Or will it be a faith, family, and freedom constitutional republic that we have been blessed with for some 244 years now? Samuel Adams said, and may I quote, I don't know of any more poignant quote that I can give you than this. Samuel Adams said, let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is not making a present on a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not to do so, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human history, for which he is accountable to God and to his country, end quote. I couldn't have said it better myself. In other words, when we cast a vote, we should be casting a vote and recognizing that we are accountable to God for that vote. Don't sit back and say, my vote doesn't count. Every vote counts. And that vote, as we cast that ballot, we're accountable to God, and we're accountable to our country. And as we account to God, we are mandated to be salt and light in the Scripture. It's an impossibility to be salt and light and sit on our thumbs and not vote. So let me urge you to vote, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have one of our sons. We happen to have four sons, and all of them love the Lord. All of them are serving the Lord. And Greg enjoys joining me on the broadcast, and I'm thankful that he's taken time out from an otherwise busy schedule at the tip of heaven, as he calls it, up in Tennessee, to share with us this broadcast today as we ask the question, is Joe Biden qualified to be president? Greg, thank you for joining us today. Is it still raining up your way? What's the weather like?
It is beautiful. It is the southern tip of heaven. I'm looking out across the Smoky Mountains right now, and I wouldn't change this view for any other view on earth. It is but I recognize one day there's going to be a view that puts all this to shame, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful that you're available and we can talk about these very serious issues. When it comes to the question of the qualifications of Joe Biden and talking about this presidency, before we get into his qualifications or disqualifications, let me ask you to just speak directly to our listeners today. Why is this election so important? Why is it the most seminal, important election in our lifetimes?
It's, you know, recently I heard a pastor say, I don't want to hear this, you know, this is the most important election. I hear that every single 4 years. This is the most important election. Well, we have such a polar opposite, choice before us today. For years, I said, when will there be an open, out-of-the-closet socialist running for president? And then along came Bernie Sanders. But the policies of Bernie Sanders have been adopted by Joe Biden. And keep in mind, half the party, matter of fact, I believe if Pocahontas had gotten out of the race a week or two sooner, Joe Biden would be the Democrat candidate today. Folks need to realize this is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. This is the Democrat Party of Mao Zedong. We're moving a totally different direction. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We are watching this. We are staring down the barrel of a gun. And something I'm watching today, and like that pastor that didn't want to hear this is the most important election ever, there are tons of folks out there today attempting to suppress the Christian vote. They don't want the Christian impact within our culture. They don't want the salt and light to have benefit. They don't want for it to be efficacious. They want for Christians to stay home. Those individuals many times will say, I'm a conservative and I'm a Christian and I'm a this and Donald Trump is just immoral. And you go, stop, just a second. We have a binary choice. Either Donald Trump will be the president or Joe Biden will be the president. Joe Biden's policies embrace abortion to all the way up to the moment of birth, and some would say after that, if you include Ralph Northam, blackface baby killer, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam said we could actually have a talk about it if the baby was born alive. But in any case, so when you scream, when that individual that claims to be a Christian starts screaming about Donald Trump's immorality, and you know that Joe Biden is the only other choice on the table, that person is standing atop a mountain of 60 million unborn babies and screaming about morality. Now, Christians have been played over and over. Watch, step back in time 4 years ago, as all these Republican candidates lined up. My goodness, I was a Ted Cruz supporter. This guy is sharp. He's a constitutionalist. I believe probably a Christian. He has a lot of things going for him, but he didn't make it through the primary. But it was partly due to the manipulation of our mainstream media. Understand, they gave Donald Trump easily $1 billion in airtime. Every time I turned on the TV set, it was Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And very few of them had negative things to say. Understand this. Understand
they thought
this.
He was unelectable.
During the primary, they were setting us up for failure. They fully expected they would set him up and they would knock him down. They understood that tapes like the Access Hollywood tapes were out there. And they figured, you know what, we're going to set him up as the candidate and then we're going to expose him for the immorality and we'll get Christians to stay home. Do Christians, do you realize sometimes you're being played? If you're watching CNN or MSNBC or CBS, right down the list, your mainstream media outlets, they are attempting to play you. They are attempting to play you. I want you to look at policies, and I want you to analyze 4 years of Donald Trump policies and ask yourself, when was the last time we had a president stand so vigorously for religious liberty, stand so vigorously for the issue of life, stand so vigorously for the appointment of constitutionalist, originalist justices? You know what? We haven't seen that. I believe this man has surpassed the legacy of Ronald Reagan. And if you're a believer and you've got your eyes open and you know anything about history, you cannot sit home on next Tuesday. Get out and vote right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you touched on something about the Christian faith and what Biden is like and what Biden is saying. I'm caused to reflect back on an article that I've shared two or three times for the past couple of weeks. It's found in the Decision Magazine, October edition, and it's by Franklin Graham. Thankfully, under the current administration, our religious liberties have been protected and preserved through a number of executive orders and the appointment of conservative justices and judges. Through executive actions, the right to life for the unborn and the freedom for the Christian organizations and professionals to practice according to their sincerely held beliefs have been advanced and even upheld. However, as the 2020 election draws near, I have a dire warning for Christians. This wonderful season of progress for the cause of religious freedom and the moral and biblical values we hold so dear could very quickly and perhaps even permanently be reversed. Voters are choosing between two polar opposite visions for America, one that threatens to send our country spiraling down the dangerous road of socialism, and one that promises to uphold the constitutional freedoms our nation is built upon while making America the envy of the world, end quote. I couldn't have stated that better, Greg, and that's exactly what you were saying, but summarized in the thought from Franklin Graham. And yet, in 2016, we had about 31 million Christians that did not vote because they didn't have a moral, ethical Christian choice. In fact, it was Dr. John Piper, the now retired pastor from Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pennsylvania. And Dr. Piper has now come back on the forefront in his diatribe about Donald Trump and advising Christians not to vote for President Donald Trump because of his, quote, adultery, because of his multiple marriages, etc. And yet he does not recognize that God uses sinful, fallen, imperfect humanity to carry out his will and purpose in any society, at any generation, and at any era of time. Look at King David. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at Peter. And I reckon I say that because just recently I had a gentleman that called on this broadcast, was all upset talking about Trump's background and his morals and ethics and values. But we're not voting for the man. We're voting for that man that God chooses to put in office that's going to stand for morals and ethics and values and faith and family and freedom and our flag, et cetera, et cetera. Is that what we're looking at in this election? Are we talking about just voting for a man?
It's interesting to note the adversaries of a person. And the adversaries of a person speak volumes. During this campaign, I've referenced the Mark 3 text repeatedly. And as the senior theologian here, I'd like for you to correct me if I'm wrong. in that Mark 3 text, Jesus is healing. And the Pharisees say, you know, he's doing this by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus corrects them and says, you know, basically Satan would not attack himself. A house divided will fall. So in measuring this campaign, I recognize that there is a list that oppose Donald Trump. Anarchists and socialists and Marxists and witches are among that list. The witches will gather on Halloween evening, and they will cast a spell upon Donald Trump. Now, they've done this over and over. They've done this with Kavanaugh, and they've done this with Trump, and it's been highly publicized. Tell me, Christians, tell me, believers, when witchcraft is exercised, what power is invoked? Is it the power of Christ, or is it the power of Satan? There are only two powers in this universe. Which power is being invoked? And ask yourself this question as well. Does Satan attack himself? Understand, I am not equating Donald Trump with Jesus Christ. But the works in particular that are being accomplished do not reflect a New York liberal Democrat, a socialist, evil ideology. What I'm seeing coming out of Donald Trump, literally, it's amazing, because you see that God is actually performing a work, has preserved this nation. Religious liberty is still alive and well in America.
Had it not been for President Donald J. Trump in office, we would not have that today. Greg,
that's right.
When we think about Donald Trump being president and for his presidency, he is for pro-life. No other president has done more for the protection of the unborn baby than President Donald J. Trump. President Trump has shut off the valve mainly to Planned Parenthood. President Trump has stopped the international global approach of forcing other nations to liberalize their abortion policy in order to get United States aid and help. President Donald J. Trump is pro-family. He's standing up for the family. He's standing up for the faith in the family. He's standing up for marriage and not for the, let me go back to say this. God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. And yet you see a major push by the LGBTQ sodomite agenda today to destroy the family. And that's part of the Marxist playbook, is to dethrone God, to destroy the nuclear family, and to literally eviscerate anything that's called spirituality in a nation. But it's President Donald J. Trump that is pro-life and pro-family. And another thing that I'm so thankful for, Greg, and for our listeners to understand, he's pro-gun. Now, some might be, oh, a gun, you know, it's bad. In fact, that's what the socialist Marxist society today, the portion of the people in America that's on the other side of the aisle, if you will, they're against having the Second Amendment right. In fact, it's Joe Biden that he said that the Second Amendment does not protect individual rights to own a gun. He says that he'll confiscate the guns. It was Kamala Harris, his running mate, that said if they are elected, that is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, that if you don't surrender your gun, if you don't register and surrender your gun, then they will send the police to take it, to confiscate it, the term she used. So if for no other reason, we could look at Donald J. Trump and what he's done in those three areas and have an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, for the preservation of our Constitution. Thank you, Lord, for the appointment of constitutionalist originalist on the court. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the protection for our First Amendment right, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and our Second Amendment right, the freedom to keep and bear arms. Greg, what do we need to say to our listeners for them to understand that our Constitution and that portion that's called our Bill of Rights is literally on the limb? It's in the vote. If nothing else, the First and Second Amendment, if nothing else, that is on the ballot for our voting this season.
It all hangs in the balance. And as I reflected earlier today with the onslaught coming from the extreme left and the facets of the community that are most evil, believers, if you sit home, you have sided with that evil. If you go and punch the ticket, and you're not supporting that which is good, you're either for me or against me in the scripture, but I would say you're either for those good policies or you're against those good policies. So you can punch the ballot for Donald Trump, or you punch it anywhere else, and you have assisted the other side. We must get out and vote because it is that important. What hangs in the balance is the freedom, the liberty, but also the ability. This nation sends more missionaries around the world than any other nation on earth. Socialist nations don't do that. As we take that trek down the course of socialism, the path of socialism, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. Massive bloodshed is required to regain the freedom lost. So you're either supporting preserving this nation as the constitutional republic that it is in a capitalist system, or you are insisting upon bloodshed, massive bloodshed, to restore that which was lost. So don't look back and say, I've lost this, I'm sorry, we're going to vote and make it right. You don't get to go back and vote and make it right. There's a four-year swing, and that four-year swing, a massive power grab takes place. We already know that the left is willing to use every agency of government to dismantle their opposition. That's what they do. They have a history of it, and it is pronounced. It is exaggerated. It is accelerated with the current batch of leftists in Congress and seeking the reins of power in the White House.
Absolutely, and you touched on that about the missionaries. I had one of our callers the other day on this broadcast that said that he had a conversation with a friend of his that's Cuban, and said that the Cuban people are praying for President Trump to be elected, reelected, because it is through the freedom of religion in America that we're able to send missionaries around the world. And in particular, that Cuban person was talking about missionaries that are able to go and evangelize the Cuban people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They recognize in a communist nation that they're in, they recognize the real need for America to reelect President Donald J. Trump. It is an amazing thing that we have so many today that feel otherwise. In fact, I'm looking at an article entitled, Franklin Graham Makes Pre-Election Trump Proclamation. He says, thank God for all that President Donald J. Trump has done. And he goes on to talk about that. He says, already in this first term, President Trump has appointed 200 constitutional federal judges. With Amy Coney Barrett, he will have appointed 3 conservative U.S. Supreme Court justices. These actions alone will have an impact on not only my generation, but the lives of my children and my grandchildren. President Trump has defended religious freedom here at home and around the world, and he boldly declared to the nation that the church is essential even during a pandemic. And he goes further and says, here are the final hours before 2020 election. He's brokered peace agreements, talking about what Trump has done, brokered peace agreements between Israel and the UAE, Bahrain, Iran, and Sudan. And reports say that Saudi Arabia is in the pipeline to recognize Israel also. It is a fascinating journey in reflecting back on what President Trump has done. Greg, we've got about 45 seconds before our news break. What would you like to say in wrapping up this thought, this portion of our broadcast, with the thoughts that we've discussed?
Ronald Reagan also said that America is the last best hope of man on earth. I think God had his hand in the creation of America, and we should pass it on to our kids and to our grandkids better than we found it. This generation will make a difference. This generation will make a difference. You'll make a difference next Tuesday at these polls.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break for about 1 minute. After that, we're coming back, and we're going to unfurl the question, is Joe Biden qualified to be president? What does his record show? Is he qualified morally, ethically? Is he qualified politically, economically? Is he qualified cognitively? Is Joe Biden qualified to be president of the United States of America? Looking forward to your conversation and calls. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.